blockers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Since I know you're all very invested, very concerned, I just wanted to let you know I was able to successfully navigate the plum this morning. Just finished it during the break. Thank you. And there is the plum seed, and it is not in my belly. So kudos to me. Good morning, Jason. Welcome
get
to the Clown Show.
Get in my belly.
Get in my belly. No, don't get in my belly. I swallowed a plum seed yesterday, and it was an adventure, let me tell you. But I wanted to let everybody know that this is not a chronic problem for me. I was able to navigate the plum seed this morning like a big girl. So there you go.
Why don't you just switch to, like, nectarines or something?
Wait, do nectarines not have seeds? Do they not have pits?
Well, the pit is much larger,
yes.
And only a complete idiot would swallow that.
Well, Chewy chews on peach pits on peach. Purpose.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of complete idiots.
Fair.
Jason, should there be any concern about some of the wide receivers being questionable as for their availability to play this weekend against the Texans?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, I think Jaden Reed, obviously he hurt his ankle on that punt return that he fumbled, and then he ended up coming back into the game. In the words of the immortal American orator, Mike McCarthy, we're just being smart with him. So I don't think now, obviously, the shoulder injury that Dontavian Wicks suffered prevented him from returning to the game, so we'll have to see what that looks like. And he said he had an AC joint injury in college, and this isn't nearly as bad as that. And the fact that, quite frankly, he was practicing on a limited basis yesterday, I found extremely encouraging. He told us after the game that he didn't think he'd miss time, and of course players always say that, but the fact that he was actually out there, I thought that was a really good sign. So, you know, maybe there's a chance they're extra cautious with him, but I think they should probably have all those guys raring to go on Sunday.
Jason, did you agree with the decision to get rid of Narveson?
Well, I'm still holding out for Anders Carlson coming back, and that's going to be a little bit harder now that he's signed with it. No, I'm like, I I'd love to go for the laugh, but I actually kind of mean that. Like, my thing, and I think I said this to you guys at the time, is, if you're going to invest the sixth-round draft pick in him, you got to ride with him longer than, in my opinion, one season. I mean, I don't believe you should draft specialists. Now, again, I'm not a National Football League GM, so you can take what I say with a grain of salt. But there are so many examples, including Brandon McManus, who you just brought in. You know, Brandon McManus kicked for 9 years for the Denver Broncos, 1 year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Do you know who he played for before that? Of course not, because he never kicked for them. He came into the league with the Indianapolis Colts, didn't make it, goes to camp in 14 with the Giants, and gets traded to the Broncos, gets replaced during that 14 season. Later on, he gets replaced again. Like, it takes time for most guys to figure out. Most guys are not Ryan Longwell, right, who was a rookie for you guys in 97. More guys are like Brett Conway, although Brett Conway's confidence was shattered by the time he bounced around a little bit in the league. My point is that I don't think you should pick those guys. I think you should let them figure it out for other teams and then be the team that they join and they get their act together. But if you are going to draft them, Braden Narveson was in no way an upgrade over Anders Carlson. Like, they didn't even attempt a 50-yarder with him. So I got nothing against the Narv dog, as Tausch calls him. But the bottom line is, you didn't upgrade. And now you're hoping that a guy that wouldn't have even been available to you if not for some reportedly, allegedly questionable behavior on a team flight is going to solve the problem. And we're all going to wait and see if that's actually true.
Jason Wilde hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So Joshy was talking about this morning in the production meeting. He's concerned, Jason, about Matt LaFleur changing his plan of attack. He wants them to stay aggressive as though, hear me out, the kicker is an issue. So we don't feel comfortable trotting him out there on some of these, you know, some of these field goal attempts. We'd rather go for the end zone. Do you think Matt LaFleur will change his plan of attack with the new McManus kicker in there?
Joshy, how many times do you think they didn't kick the field goal and they instead went for it when it was borderline? And if the kicker wasn't mediocre, I don't want to say he stunk, but if the kicker was better, they would have kicked it instead. How many times do you think that's happened in the first six games?
This season, none at all. I would say there was a little bit of that last year, but this season, my concern is I want them to stay with what they've been doing. Is what I want.
Yeah, I don't. I think he's he's talked about this before. I love the fact that they've got this enormous analytics team, and Matt LaFleur says he just goes with his gut, which I kind of like, right? Because that's old school football. It's like Chewy and my era of when I was covering him. I like that. And so, you know, I'll never forget the mic'd up when he said, when LaFleur says all gas, no blank and break. And I don't think that having a veteran kicker is going to change that. So I don't think you have to worry about that. I would say this, it's not like, and I know this guy's struggling this year, but it's not like McManus comes in here and he's Justin Tucker. Like, his accuracy for his career is 81.4%. Anders Carlson last season, at least on field goals, I think the extra points, the fact that the dude missed six extra points was a major factor in them moving on from him. But last year on field goals, he was 80.6%. So it's not like he wasn't good compared to the rest of the league, but his accuracy compared to, say, McManus now was not that far off. And so I don't think that they've suddenly got, you know, the greatest kicker in the league and they're going to stop being aggressive. I think this guy is, in their mind, an upgrade over Narveson, but that is not exactly the highest praise possible.
Well, and I think the distinction that people were making when McManus was signed was that his misses, at least many of them, most of them, have come from 50-plus, as opposed to, I don't know,
40-plus. Yeah, he's not very good from 50 yards, though, right? I mean, what is he? 45 82. Of 82.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I'm not, he is an upgrade. He's experienced. I think Goody made the right decision. I appreciated Goody being honest about the fact that, if not for his incident on the team flight to London with the Jaguars, he wouldn't have even been available to them. But the bottom line is that there's a lot of guys making a hell of a lot more 50-yard kicks than that right now. And so it's just, I don't know, man. This is really remarkable how you don't know what you've got till it's gone, as Cinderella once sang. When it comes to a guy like Mason Crosby.
Oh, I think Brian Adams as well, maybe. Those two in lockstep.
You got to do the
that's
Cinderella
great.
Version, though.
Yeah.
Oh, Cinderella was
don't
the band.
Don't know what
Sorry.
She got till it's gone.
Sorry, I thought it was like Cinderella, the cartoon character from Disney. I was like, I'm unfamiliar with that line, but maybe she said it.
Sorry to everyone's speakers in their car. She was screaming.
Come on, that was dialed,
Josh.
And you... Play that coming back, and you will hear that Chewy and I were right on point.
Yes.
I was more concerned with the volume.
Josh is like, just give me a heads up. I'll turn you down. So the other thing we were discussing this morning, Jason, was how the, you know, Evan Williams, we talked about him a little bit on Tuesday, and how the draft class feels like they are making strides. And Joshy asked us point blank, is this year's draft class better than last year's? And I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, and Chewy said it's too early to definitively say, obviously, but it sort of feels like these guys are hitting a stride faster than last year's draft class did. Maybe they're being used. Do you think it was Jeff Hafley, just staying on the defensive side of the ball here, who was weighing in on the type of player he wanted, maybe even specific players he wanted that would fit into his scheme. And that's a reason why it feels like those guys are advancing at a faster pace.
You would certainly hope that they had those conversations. I mean, look, I find this amazing. This isn't draft-related. But, like, when we were introduced to Jeff Hafley, he described his ideal post-safety, and then he even admitted that he was kind of describing a player that doesn't exist. And then they signed Xavier McKinney, and he basically checks all the boxes that he went through when he was describing his ideal post safety. So I would assume that they talked about that. You know, the coaches have limited input into the draft process, but what they tend to do, from what I understand, is when they've got some guys that they like, they then have the coaches go through film of those guys and take a look at them. And I don't know how you wouldn't have, you know, watched Evan Williams. Obviously, having watched a fair number of Ducks games last year, I remember him with the Ducks. He's been so impressive. And a buddy of mine that works in Eugene talked to Dan Lanning for me about him, because some of us don't have the close connection to Dan Lanning that others of us do. And he's just been so impressive. And Dan Lanning is not in any way surprised that he's been able to hit the ground running. I would say, I'm assuming Josh was also referring to Edger and Cooper, who, you know, I think they're really excited about, but they have been limiting how much they're giving him opportunities. His snap count jumped last week, but he still makes a bunch of mistakes. Like, he's a guy that's still trying to figure it out, whereas maybe Evan Williams is a little bit higher in terms of having played 4 years at Fresno State, 1 year at Oregon. He's just a little further along in his football IQ development. But both of those guys are impressive. I don't know, if you look at last year's draft class, I think it's tough to look at that and go, oh, well, these guys are even better. But Goody's had some fantastic draft classes 3 years running. And if he can keep up this pace, I don't see how they can have many holes on their roster moving forward.
Jason, two-part question here. I think we can both agree that Detroit's window is wide open. How much is the loss of Aiden Hutchinson going to affect that team? And two, I think they're going to go out and get a very good DN. Now, it might not be Myles Garrett or Max Crosby, but it could be a Montez Sweat, which they did in Chicago. They're not laying down. Would you agree with that?
I would totally. You mean the Lions are going to trade for someone? Yeah, no, there's no.
Yeah, huge. I think they're going to trade for a big name.
Yeah, if I were them, I would do that too. I mean, it sucks that they lose a guy of, like, because Aiden Hutchinson's not only a really good player, but he's kind of one of those type of heart and soul guys, right? And so when you lose him, you probably need to do something. So I would agree on both points on that. You know, I don't know, maybe Rashawn Gary's available.
For what? A case of Gatorade?
It was mean. At least you didn't call him a moron like Jermichael Finley. But look, the thing about it is they've got to get, in all seriousness, I understand they face the mobile quarterbacks and this, that, and the next thing, but they've got to get Rashawn Gary going. And I don't know if you saw, because you crossed over briefly with Mike Wall, right? The former Packers guard. He did this breakdown on him, and I got to say, the fact that Mike, who played in the league for a decade, you know, it's one thing if some Yahoo like me is criticizing you, but like when guys who, you know, I think one of the lines that Wall had was, you're just doing me a favor as an offensive lineman with the way he's approaching his pass rushes early on in the start of the play. No one wants to talk about the fact that the $96 million pass rusher has not been productive. And I get it, because I wouldn't, if I was the $96 million pass rusher, I don't need people publicly bashing me from my own team. But they've got to get him going. And whatever that needs to look like, you know, more stunts and twists, figuring out ways to have other people occupy the chips, whatever it is, they've got to get him going, because that's the one area, at least when I look at this defense, that you have a reason to be concerned. And it's not just him, it's the entire group. But like, you get that going, and this is one scary defense if you can get your pass rush and your big time guy going.
But, Jason, why are people surprised? This was the knock on him at Michigan. He's a huge underachiever. I am not surprised one bit. He could fall into the category of a Cledius Hunt or a Gabe Wilkins. You pay the guy, and then he doesn't play until his next free agent year.
Yeah, I don't want to say that it's a mystery, and I'm like Encyclopedia Brown here trying to figure it out, but I just don't understand it. I don't. And maybe that it's as simple as that. But those are the guys I've never understood, right? Because at a certain level, you got to go there anyway, right? It's not he's off on an island counting his money. He's still got to go to work every day. He's still got to play on Sundays. Everybody is like, if you have pride. So I do not believe that that is the case with him. But I do think this, and we don't disagree a lot, but Tausch and I, he wanted to put him in that elite category 2 years ago before his knee injury, and he was certainly more productive than he's been this year, but I kept pushing back on him. He hasn't had a double-digit sack season at this point. Like, I know we all want him to be Myles Garrett or T.J. Watt or whoever, but he is nowhere close to that, and his production through six games underscores that.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Good luck with the plums. Take care. Be good.
Thank you very much. He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Your home, your future, your priority, and ours. Your home is more than just a house. It's your future. Great Midwest Bank prioritizes your dream, ensuring your mortgage process is smooth and stress-free. There are a lot of stressors in the home buying process. You've probably heard that. But your mortgage should not be one of them. Apply for your home mortgage loan at Great Midwest Bank, and you'll experience a state of banquility. That's when you can find out how easy the process can be. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com to see what products GMB has for you.